Welcome to the show, special assistant for the Toronto Blue Jays, former Blue Jay and Cy Young winner, Mr. Pat Henkin, everybody. Yeah. Hey, Pat.
Hey, good morning.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Better after a nice Blue Jay win. They've been you know, steady. They've been consistent. They've won a couple of series in a row now. They got game one against the Yankees, and anytime you can get a game in your division, you're good. But that start from Estrada, man, oh, man, every time he goes up there, it's not that you expect the electric stuff. He has just quietly been the most consistent starter on this team, along with Jay Happ.
He has. I mean, it's incredible, especially the Yankees. They got some good lefties, and he just neutralizes them with that great changeup. You know, you see Beltran wave at balls. I mean, that guy's a borderline Hall of Fame hitter. You see the one lefty, I think it was it Hicks or
Hicks.
Aaron? Hicks,
yeah.
Just waving at it. Didi Gregorius just waving at balls. I mean, just the fact that he changes the tempo and mixes up his speed so well with the same arm action, it's a tough thing to do. It's a tough thing to evaluate. It's a tough thing to execute. And he just does a great job of doing all three.
You know, and he doesn't throw fire, but what makes that change up? What sets up a hitter with that change up? What happens when you're in an at-bat against something like that where you have no idea what's coming?
You know, we preach it all the time in the minor leagues about how you have to have a good changeup, you have to have a good changeup. You have to have really good fastball command, and you can get away with having lesser of a changeup. But, Marco, you're allowed to have – you can make a lot of mistakes when you change speeds like that. One's 88, the next one's 78, the next one's 88. They're guessing on speeds. And, you know, that little cutter, too, you got to give some credit to the pitching coach and to the bullpen coach, because when he came over, you know, he didn't have a cutter. And that really has helped out neutralize the lefties as well. They got to really get the barrel out in front to catch that cut fastball in on their hands. I know I was a cutter type guy, and you know, Marco just took it to the next level with that great changeup. It's something we preach all the time in the minor leagues. Unfortunately, not everyone can kill ball speed like that, and Marco's just got a knack for it. And the ironic thing about it is, we had a guy in the minor leagues named Clint Everett that we came from Milwaukee, and that's who showed Marco his changeup. So it was actually one of our minor league guys in the Blue Jay system.
Pat, a lot of talk last season was that the relationship that Marco and Deonor Navarro had between that battery, and that maybe a lot of people were concerned that Russell Martin will be catching him this season and maybe he won't find that same chemistry or find that same changeup on the mound. How hard is it as a pitcher to clear that mental hurdle of not having that same battery mate you had last season?
Yeah, that's a great question. I know with me, Charlie O'Brien sticks out right away with a guy that I really just was in sync with on the mound. And unfortunately, he was only there 2 years. And I remember Cito telling me, listen, man, you can't be married to a catcher. What happens if we trade him at the deadline? Or what happens if he doesn't re-sign? So Marco's just taken all the responsibility, all the accountability to not only just follow like a working bee, like a burly type guy, and just follow what Russell's putting down, but also I think he's got the confidence to shake too. And, you know, Russell's a super good catcher. I mean, he's been around 10 years now. He's been in the playoffs 9. I mean, there's a reason. The guy can call a game, he can shut the running game down and get the best out of his pitcher. And I don't know how you put a value on that. That's a heck of a knack.
One of the other pitchers who's been very, very consistent, I mean, the whole rotation's been great, but a bunch of quality starts again from Jay Happ. And you know, we maligned Mark Shapiro and the management when they first got here for, you know, not going out and signing David Price. Jay Happ, all he's done is go 6-2. And I mean, he's had a couple of hiccups, but really nothing to speak of that would dictate that wasn't maybe, other than Estrada, one of the best signings in the offseason in as far as an arm goes.
No question. And the fact that he's got this new sinker, you know, I don't remember him having a sinker. I did the bullpen in 13, and I remember going to all of his sides in between starts, and he was so excellent on the side. It was incredible. And then we'd get in the games, and sometimes he'd be a little anxious and arm side up and fall behind 2-0. He's just learned how to slow the game down. I think he's matured. I think he's confident. And I think that sinker's really helped him get back in count and gives him that challenge ball that some pitchers need. 1-0, 2-1. Sometimes you just have to take a deep breath and think outer half and let it eat and not try to be too fine. Say, here, put it in play. And that little sink at the end has really allowed him to have some misses in the middle of the plate. They top it. His ground ball rates up. So I think the sinker's really changed Happ. Great signs. Two great signs in the offseason by the Blue Jays. There's no question about it. Those guys have been great.
Stuff that has worked, of course, Estrada, and something that has not worked, Drew Storen, although he got the save yesterday, he looked shaky. Aaron Loeb comes in. I mean, it is the same story. We're singing the praises of the starting rotation, who've been fantastic. A real struggle has been the bullpen. And I wanted to get your thoughts on it, because you work with the club, you work with a bunch of the minor leaguers, you know what's in the system. Is there a fix coming from within the Blue Jays organization, or do you think that, hey, listen, we got to get who we have here straight, otherwise we got to go outside the organization?
Well, let me defend Loop for a minute. It was 4-0. It was the ninth inning. It was 2-2. He had just thrown him like four breaking balls in a row. He doesn't want to walk anybody and let him get back into the game. And, you know, he nicks the hitter before that on the top of the foot. I think it was Beltran.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, he doesn't want to put two guys on base. So he's kind of being aggressive. McCann got him. I mean, it's the big leagues, man. That guy's a great catcher. He's a good hitter. And he got Loop. I'm not worried about Loop. Loop's very polished, very established. If you watch him execute, he does a great job. I just spent 5 days in AAA. You know, Bo Schultz threw really well down there. Unfortunately, it was only five pitches. He came in for one hitter and got a double play ball and got out of it. And then the next inning, they put in someone else. So four out of the five pitches, he executed well. I think Bo's right there. He's getting ready. He's feeling good. Dustin Antolin had a bad major league debut, but you got to remember, his heart's pounding through his jersey. You know, I got a good chance to talk to him. His stuff was definitely up a click in Toledo and Columbus when I saw him pitch versus what it looked like on his debut. So I'm hoping that Dustin gets another chance someday down the road. But, you know, those three guys are pretty much ready right now to add some depth to that bullpen.
What do you see from Storen? You're a pitcher. You've won a Cy Young. You assess. That's what you do now. You know, and you've got a wealth of experience. A guy like that who's been as good as he has been and counted on like he has been in the past, what do you see from him? Maybe it's mental, maybe it's physical, that you go, okay, listen, this might help, this might help. What do you think, your assessment, what's going on with Drew Storen?
You know, it's funny. I mean, I remember David Cone told me a long time ago, when you're struggling, man, get back to the basics. Get back to the basics. So for me, if I was going to give Drew some advice, be get ahead. I mean, when you fall behind, you get in trouble. And the first guy, he fell behind 2-0, gives up a double. And, you know, the next guy up, he got ahead. Then he threw a breaking ball back door right on the corner. And then he threw a breaking ball short in front of the plate and Headley and struck him out. So Drew's just got to get back to the basics. Strike one's going to be a key for me. You know, sometimes – You look at a guy's fastball command, you start to break down his mechanics. But in the end, it could just be a mindset of just being a little too fine 0-0, a little too fine 1-0. Let's be aggressive early and get out of the middle and then take it from there. Now, that's the thing I would say is that, you know, he's just got to get ahead more. He's been falling behind a lot.
Pat, Marcus Stroman has had a couple struggles here and there this season. Is that a case where a young pitcher, and a lot was made that he's really added to his repertoire, has six pitches now. Is this a case where a young pitcher maybe should cut it down a little bit, not throw as many pitches, and as you just said, maybe oversimplify things a little bit?
Yeah, Marco, you know, he's got a tremendous sinker for sure. He's a heck of a competitor. The fluidity of his delivery is just awesome. I'm not really worried about Marco either, you guys. I mean, he's had a couple bad games, but other than that, he's pitched damn well. I mean, he's had 10 or 11 starts. I think 7, 8, or 9 of them have been pretty good. Mm-hmm. You know, so you look at the overall numbers and you go, man, he's got a 4.5 ERA, but 8 out of the 10 games were good. The two games that he had, he gave up 7, and I think he gave up 7 again. The Red Sox got his number. You know, maybe he needs to go back and watch some video with the Red Sox and see what they're doing. They're jumping on him early. And, you know, he left a lot of balls middle-middle, and nobody pitches successfully in that league for any length of time when they're middle-middle. I don't care how good your stuff is. So Marco's just got the same thing. He's got to get back – or Stroman's got to get back to just keeping it simple. You know, I think that's the whole key. You start to overanalyze, and you just end up falling behind, and it just works in a negative way for you.
Yeah, you know, the mental part of it, I think everybody has done something in every profession where they feel really zero confidence. They kind of forget where they come from. They forget how to do the job that they're there to do. You know, and we just talked about Storen. But, you know, it works both ways, I guess. And I wonder what that key is for a lot of pitchers, or what was it for you? You know, let's say you're struggling, you got hit pretty hard in a stretch, and what is it for you that would click where, you know, okay, I'm back. I know that I can throw these pitches for strikes. I know I can be effective.
You know, I think the biggest thing is being able to self-coach when you're out there, because the pitch coach can't help you, nor can the manager. So you have to be able to pitch to pitch, be able to self-coach. And I think that the thing that helped me was I used to, my first step in my delivery, especially out of the windup, I used to tell myself to slow down because I was so anxious to throw the ball. My hand would be a click behind and it would be elevated. So for me, it was, you know, take that first step in my delivery, slow down, relax, let's let my hand get out in front. And the other thing I used to tell myself was get your elbow up, get your arm up. Because I know over time you have games where you just don't feel that good physically, but you have to go out and pitch and try to eat up 6 or 7 innings. And on those days, it's not easy to get your shoulder up and get your elbow up and get over the ball and climb over it. So I think that's the two things that I used as reminders. And I've shared that with guys. I'm like, look, you have to come up with a 2-3 word phrase or a sentence that helps you self-coach and get you back on track, whether it's stay back, slow down, get your arm up, something that you can remind yourself, almost like when you go to hit a tee shot, you know, all the little check systems you have in your mind, you know, the grip and, you know, start slow and whatever you use with a golf tee shot. Same thing with pitching. You know, there's a lot of time in between to think. So sometimes the guys that think less have better careers, believe it or not.
Pat, just real quick, too.
Well, I told it, Pat, that means I would have a hell of a career in the major leagues of baseball because I have never thought for one second in my life.
Pat, real quick, a lot's been made about an innings limit on Aaron Sanchez. Do you believe in innings limits, or should we be careful with a young, dynamic arm like Sanchez?
You know, it's funny. That's a good question. I think that with the minor leagues, you know, we end up restricting them with their innings, but I think it's really pitches that you need to focus on. You know, if a guy's throwing 80 pitches, 90 pitches, 100 pitches, as long as I don't see the innings being a problem, I see pitches being a problem. So let's go back and analyze how many pitches has he thrown, how many pitches did he throw in the minor leagues when he was a starter, that kind of thing. How many pitches did he throw last year? I'm not overly concerned about the innings thing for me. You know, he's got a good delivery, and he's been pitching great. I hope he keeps it going.
Hey, just a personal question. I think about this stuff, and I never ask because we're busy talking about the Blue Jays' woes and where they're at and who needs to do what. But who was the toughest out for you ever?
Cecil Fielder.
Really?
You didn't blink, eh, yeah. Pat?
Yeah, he crushed me. He crushed me. he had 7 home runs off me. I think I was in the league like 2 years. You know, and then Woody Williams would come in right behind me throwing 88 right by him. I said, man, Woody, how do you do that? He says, I don't know. He just doesn't see my ball. Yeah, Cecil got me pretty good.
Who did you eat up? Who did you love like a big name player that you just owned over your career?
You know, it's funny. I actually had pretty good numbers against Griffey, and he was probably one of the best players in my league at that time. Griffey, I think I did pretty well against Palmeiro. I was kind of that rare guy. I had reverse splits. I got lefties out a little bit better than I did righties. So for me, Cecil Fielder was a sucker. Boy, he was tough. I couldn't figure him out. And then, you know, Griffey, I would think. You know, Wade Boggs was tough. I mean, Jeter was tough. I mean, all the typical guys that you see on the leaderboard every year are always really tough outs.
Well, listen, the way the bullpen's been lately, maybe you should warm up and see if you can still get a little something in the tank, Pat.
Yeah, if it's a 45 and older league, I'm in.
Hey, listen, really appreciate you doing this. Have a great day, Pat.
All right, thanks for having me.